If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Now that is a weekend jam right there. That is sitting out on the dock, sitting on the back porch, hanging out, having a good time. That's a good one. Who is this?
It's a group called STRFKR. They can't say their name.
Oh, okay.
If you get the
yes.
acronym.
Yes.
So that's what they go by when they play their stuff, like on the radio.
Oh,
or
that's
if
good.
You look them up on Spotify, it's the same thing. But if you go to one of their shows or whatnot, it's not what they actually
okay.
go by.
I was going to say, good thing we have this on a Sunday.
Absolutely.
It is.
Let's get after it.
Folks on the way to mass or services, whatever you do.
Whatever
you don't do. If you don't do anything, it's fine. Whatever your thing is. This is Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest on a beautiful Sunday morning. It's about, 65 degrees outside right now. Saw some folks out for a run, taking their dogs for a walk. It's going to get up to about 81 today, and then the rest of the week is rain. It says rain every day next week, so we're going to be right back at it again. So if you still have sod to put down or flowers to plant, get that done today. You're not going to have any time this week, I don't think.
A lot of rain coming.
It is
coming.
Yeah, I feel bad for the farmers. I heard Mike Boddicker talking about it on the Border Patrol this week, and a lot of farmers can't get their crops in. I think like in, across Missouri and Iowa and Nebraska and Kansas and Arkansas, especially the soybean and the corn planting that needs to be done. I don't think even 60% of it's been done because there's been so much rain. It's been devastating. I feel bad for those guys. I was born in a farming community in Iowa, so I kind of understand how it goes. If you have one bad year, it can wipe you out. So
set you back a little bit.
Yeah. So for any of the farmers listening out there, we're thinking about you. Hopefully, you can get your stuff in and have a decent crop this year. This is not the Farm Report, though. This is the sports show. We talk about everything. Let me set up the show, and then we'll get into Patrick Mahomes at the Blues game last night in St. Louis. But let me set up the show. Coming up at 9:30 here in just a few minutes, Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com, will join us. We'll talk K-State football and basketball. Big news for both, as Xavier Sneed has decided to stay in school and play another season for the Wildcats. That'll make Bruce Weber a very happy man and make life a little bit easier, even though they still lose Dean Wade and Barry Brown. So that's good news. On the football side, Isaiah Zuber, who had off-season hip surgery, has decided to use that senior grad transfer and go to Mississippi State. It caught everybody off guard because it was announced so late. I think it was Friday was when that news came out. So he's going to Mississippi State, and K-State's third non-conference game is against Mississippi State.
They got absolutely worked by Mississippi State last year.
Yeah.
At home. That was that was not pretty.
No.
Montez Sweat, he was pretty good at football.
He's good at the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, good for Isaiah Zuber. You got 1 year left. You go to a team that in the last few years has been in the conversation for getting into the college football playoff. So good for him. So Riley Gates at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, R.J. Anderson from CBSSports.com. First time we've had him on the show. Turns out a ton of content about Major League Baseball, including the Royals. And we'll talk a little draft as well. The draft is tomorrow, Monday. And the Royals have the number 2 overall pick. Is it going to be Rashman? Is it going to be Bobby Witt Jr.? I would say 99.9% of the consensus is it's going to be Bobby Witt Jr., the high school shortstop. The only question marks are, doesn't play against top competition, but if you're listed as the number 2 prospect, you're pretty damn good. So we'll get into that at 10 o'clock with R.J. Anderson. At 11, Nick Schwert. I had to pause between his names because that's not an easy one to handle all run together. Nick Schwert from KLWN in Lawrence will join us. We'll talk KU basketball, KU football, of course, with the basketball side, with all the moves over the last week and a half, who's coming back, who's going to the NBA, who's transferring out. There's a lot of stuff to cover with Nick Schwert. We'll also talk KU football. You know, the offseason stuff isn't really all that exciting, but Les Miles is getting a lot of positive attention for the program. That's not, I'm not saying he's going to win a ton of games this year. Wins two or three games, that would be a good start. But he's winning the PR game. He won the press conference when he got hired, and he's winning the PR game. He does something every week, whether he's visiting kids at a school, whether he's going to a hospital. And over the weekend, he rappelled off the top of a building. Now, I don't think this was like a speed descent. It's probably walking your way down the building. I personally wouldn't do it. That's not my thing. But Les Miles is getting a lot of eyeballs on that KU football program for good reasons, for positive reasons. Doesn't mean they're going to win, like I said, but good stuff. We'll talk about that with Nick Schwert at 11 o'clock. And then at 11:30, we'll have Bullock Bites. Chris Bullock pulls these best sound bites of the week, the most interesting sound bites, the funniest sound bites, and then we talk about it.
Get after it. We're going to get after it.
There's
some fun stuff.
Okay, good. So, I always like fun
hopefully.
Stuff.
I mean, hopefully people think it's fun. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
So.
Any Charles Barkley this week?
No. You know, since the NBA games aren't, you know, they're on national TV
now.
Oh,
that's right,
so TNT's done with their,
right.
I believe they're done with
they're done
all
for good,
their,
right?
Yeah, they're done for the rest of the season because all the games are on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
So the little ESPN affiliation right there, so.
By the way, Warriors and Raptors tonight at 7 o'clock. You can hear that live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, let's get it started. Speaking of fun things, did anybody see Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes at the St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup Finals game last night? It was all over Twitter.
They showed it all the time. So,
all over social media. So the first video I saw was Travis Kelce. He was walking out of a suite, like they pull the curtains back, and he's got a Blues jersey on, and he says something like, "Let's go, Blues!" That's great. I go over there. I wish I could go to a Stanley Cup Finals game. Soren Petro probably wishes he was there. Maybe he was. I don't know. But I know he's been trying to get to some of those games. So then the next video that comes out is Patrick Mahomes. The people in St. Louis who run the arena put him on the Jumbotron. Hey, we got the NFL MVP. The Rams left town. We got a Chiefs quarterback at our Stanley Cup Finals game. Let's put him on the Jumbotron. Great! It's Patrick Mahomes having a good time hanging out with Kelce. They seem to hang out a lot. Maybe Garrett Dieter was there too. I don't know. And then the crowd starts cheering him on. He's got a beverage. It appears to be a beer. I'm just going to guess it is. Yep. So the crowd is cheering and egging him on, right? So, like all the other quarterbacks are doing now and offensive linemen around the NFL when they go to these NHL and NBA games, he slammed it. And let me tell you, it was no Aaron Rodgers. It was no Aaron Rodgers. Remember Aaron Rodgers got egged on at that Bucks-Raptors game by one of his offensive linemen? He tried to slam it, and what did he get about halfway through, and that was it?
Can't chug beer.
Nope. Apparently Tom Brady's the best in the NFL at that. He claims to be.
For some reason, that is hard for me to imagine.
I don't see him slamming brewskis, but who knows?
No, I mean, he's a health nut.
Right.
When you think of beer, do you think of Tom Brady?
No. So
not at all.
So here's Patrick Mahomes. Maybe he gets an endorsement deal out of this. Patrick Mahomes just tips it back, and it's gone. I didn't put a clock on it, but it was about 2 to 3 seconds, right? I would guess.
I
mean, it was quick.
I don't know. Yeah, it was. I don't know how much was left in it. So because it wasn't like
it wasn't
cup,
full. Yeah,
but,
and it wasn't like a 16-ouncer. It was like what, an 8-ounce.
I think he had
beverage?
A pounder. I think he had a pounder in his hand. But I could be wrong.
But
about
right. It wasn't full. And his girlfriend is there with him, and everybody's cheering him on. He slams, and the crowd goes nuts. And this is a thing now with NFL guys when they go to these games. They do it. It's mostly offensive linemen. What the guys in. Who's been doing it the most? Somebody started it last year. Was the Eagles guys when they were...
The Nashville Predators the whole offensive line.
The Titans.
They would just like beer showers. And
that's
they
where
had
it started,
catfish
kinda.
For some reason. I don't know what the story... You know how they would like bring catfish to the games?
Well, if you're in Nashville, you'd eat catfish.
Well, yeah, I know that, but I don't know what... I mean, a lot of people here eat catfish.
Well, it's like the Florida Panthers throw the rats on the ice when the plastic rats when somebody gets a hat trick. It's a rat trick. And Yeah, and then you have the octopus, and I can go into that whole story too. But yeah, I guess that's their thing in Nashville. But I mean, Mahomes, I mean, did the town proud. And I'm not saying this is a, you know, if that's not your thing, it's not your thing. I thought it was a funny moment. He's just a kid being a kid. I'm a quarterback. I'm an MVP. I'm going to go to games. I'm going to have fun. And if they want me to go on the Jumbotron and slam a brewski, I'm down with Charlie Brown.
I'm still waiting for the Mahomes versus Josh Allen throw-off.
Oh, yeah. I saw that challenge. Or
that
I saw
that
Josh Allen challenged him on Twitter, right?
I think so, yes. Yeah. But it has to happen soon because yes. I think a lot of people are wanting that.
Yeah. You just don't want to get a guy hurt.
I want that kind of content.
You don't want to get a guy hurt.
Or
years ago at training camp up in, I think it was when they were still in River Falls, two of the fastest Chiefs were kind of goading each other on at the end of practice, and they decided to have a runoff. I cannot for the life of me remember who it was, and one of the guys pulled up lame, pulled a hamstring, trying to have a sprint off. But, yeah, Mahomes was having fun at the Blues game. I'm wondering now if this lays the groundwork, right? So if you live in Kansas City, you're not necessarily a Blues fan because it's the only NHL team in the state. If my kids like the Blues, I think it's a perfectly good story. I was totally into the guys singing Gloria all the time, the Laura Branigan song. It's a fun story. I'll cheer for the Blues. I'm sure as hell not cheering for the Bruins. But I'm wondering if this now sets the table. If Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are over at these Blues games, maybe Kansas City adopts the Blues a little bit more. I know I saw Paul McGannon posting pictures from the game last night. He runs sports rehab and physical therapy here in town. Super good dude. He was posting pictures last night. So I'm wondering if Kansas City adopts the Blues, and then Blues fans see Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce at their games and think, you know, the Rams screwed us over. We're Chiefs fans now. That's right. We're down with the MVP. We live in St. Louis, but Chiefs are our team now. I don't think that's going to be a wide sweeping thing, but maybe it starts to build up a little camaraderie a little bit. I think it'd be fun. You know, like the Royals do those, they do the bus trips, like, here's our fans from Northwest Arkansas. Here's our fans from Omaha, and they bus them in for a game. Maybe the Chiefs bus in a group from St. Louis.
Yeah, I definitely could see that just because of how big the NFL is.
Right.
The Rams feel kind of snake bit, especially after winning a Super Bowl in the late 90s and going to another
one.
Going
to another one, yeah.
But that's two teams that have left St. Louis.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be mixed. I think there's always that St. Louis Kansas City rivalry, especially when
that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be
especially
a
with
thing.
Transplants and both, you know, St. Louis people coming to Kansas City or Kansas City people going to St. Louis,
right?
Or people going to Mizzou or Northwest Missouri State or Missouri State from both and them coming together and being like, oh, well, this Kansas City's way better than St. Louis, or oh, no way, St. Louis is way better than Kansas City.
I'm just saying it'd be a fun thing if the Chiefs brought a busload of fans over from St. Louis and tell them you're our team now and you're our fans now, and maybe the Blues reciprocate during the regular season, bring a busload of Chiefs fans or just Kansas City fans over for a game. I know a lot of people go to Mavericks games, but
I've never been to an NHL game, so I'd love to go to one.
I've been to two NHL games, both in Phoenix when I was there covering the Royals at spring training. We were able to get tickets, and that was it was fun. It's a blast. Hockey in person is just a blast.
Fast-moving sport.
It is. It's great. Hey, and one of the guys I went with to the Coyotes game wore shorts and a T-shirt to the game. And I said, bro, have you never been to a hockey game before? And he goes, no. And I said, it's not warm inside.
You kind of have to keep the ice.
Yes.
Ice.
And so I had jeans. And remember, we're in Arizona. It's 90 degrees or whatever. I put on jeans and I took a jacket with me. And he's like, are you serious? You're taking a jacket? And I'm like, wait till you get in there. I don't think he was quite comfortable during the game. And I went on a night when a bunch of, then they were the Kansas City Wizards, but Sporting KC, they were out there doing their preseason training, and a bunch of those guys came to the game. Jimmy Conrad, who's been on the show before. That was a blast. So, anyway, Patrick Mahomes, slinging brewskis at the Blues game. Good stuff. Fun stuff. Good for him. OTAs start tomorrow, by the way, Monday. You got 4 days this week of OTAs. All right, moving on. Sporting KC. Watched this game last night down in Houston. Holy smokes. Those guys looked like they were about to melt. It was so hot. The heat index was in the 90s last night in Houston. They had to do what they've instituted.
The water break, the hydration break.
The hydration break. They've instituted that in the last few years. Thank God for the health of the players. And those guys, I mean, 5 minutes into the game, just soaked. Just soaked. So they're down in Houston. We know Sporting is not playing well. They had a great win last week against Seattle at home. They had a stinkeroo Wednesday night against LA Galaxy. So this is the third game in 7 days. You're on the road in Houston. It's 90-plus degrees heat index, and Houston's a good team. I'm wondering, oh boy, what's this going to look like? It was pretty good. Sporting KC bounced back and played a lot better.
I mean, not the first half.
First half was kind of slow. Both teams were a little sloppy.
I mean, Houston by two-thirds away into the first half had 9-2 advantage in shots and 3-0 shots on goal.
Right.
So I was pretty concerned. They were whipping balls in.
Yeah.
And they had some size up top.
Yep.
And I was pretty concerned that at some point those chances were going to become something. And
right.
It ended up happening 6 minutes after,
right.
5 minutes after Johan. That was an incredible play.
Johan Quaze.
It wasn't going very, like, in terms of the amount of opportunities that Sporting was getting or the, I would say, dangerous attempts that Sporting were getting at goal, it wasn't looking good for them. And then I can't remember who played the ball.
It was Ilya Sanchez.
Yes, yeah, Sanchez played the ball over the top from Sporting's own
pass.
Half. And
all the way across the field.
Yeah, Quaze controlled it and got past the defender. And that chip was
probably
phenomenal.
It was probably 20 yards up in the air over the goalkeeper. And then drop down right in front of the goal line. I mean, it was spot on.
That was clinical. That was you don't see that too much in MLS.
No. That was fantastic. So I'm feeling good. Maybe I'm feeling good about the entire game because of the proximity of watching the second half last.
Well, after you get that one goal, you're like, okay, now just hold on
just
for
manage the game.
25 more minutes.
Right.
And then they get that goal, and then you're like, okay, we will, since this game, Sporting had possession, like they had more of the possession, but that's how Sporting plays. They control possession. But in terms of, I think the most frustrating thing was for me last night was the turnover rate for Sporting in terms of how much. The touches were not as good. They weren't keeping the ball close to their body on touches. They were letting balls get away from them. And then that might be due to heat, but you can't. Everybody has to play in the heat. This is the MLS. If you play in the MLS, it's a summer.
Right.
You're playing in the summer. You're playing in some hot environments, especially in Texas, like when you go to FC Dallas or Houston.
And Ilya still wears long sleeves.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the thing you got to take away is, okay, there's no home matches in June.
Right.
For Sporting and the Houston Dynamo are fourth in the Western Conference right now.
Get a point.
And you got a point.
Yep.
Okay. You're thinking, okay, you get that goal, just hold serve until the end of the game, get that 3 points to get out of there. They score 5 minutes later and in the 69th minute, I believe. And then you just, okay, we got to buckle down, defend, and get out with 1 point.
Well, I will say this. Seth Sinovic worked his ass off last night. He was going head to head with that Albert Ellis.
Yeah, he's
a beast.
There was one play I can't remember what if it was second or first half where the ball someone was playing a ball into the box.
Right.
And Ellis was going to
the post. Yeah.
And Seth Sinovic got in between man and ball, got physical.
Right.
And cleared the ball, and it was a phenomenal play. Also, I believe it was Graham Smith from Swope Park Rangers, and he was playing last night. And he had an incredible save in the first half, I believe, when Tim Melia, he was
right at the line.
Yeah, right at the line, right at the goal line. And that was phenomenal defense from him.
Yeah.
Coming from someone that isn't as experienced as a lot of the guys in the back half. That was a play that you save a goal right there.
Right. That maybe saves the game. Yeah, because Melia parried it away, I think.
Yeah, parried, because there was another shot, and then there was a rebound, I believe.
Right.
And it was nice to see.
Yeah. So, Graham Smith, thumbs up. Sestanovic worked his ass off. That was awesome. It just had the one the one little hiccup that allowed Houston to get back in it and score that. And then they had 7 minutes onto this game, right? Because you had the hydration breaks, you had a couple of substitutions. So 7 minutes added. That's when you get nervous time, right? Especially when we saw...
And it was a very physical game.
Yes.
There were some challenges from Houston. I think there was one on Busio when he was starting to go up the field when they were trying to start a little attack going forward. He got pulled down from behind.
Yep. That's happened.
No chance on the ball. He wasn't going for the ball at all. And they didn't give him the yellow.
Yep.
At a certain point, MLS has to say, okay, you can't continue to let there's going to be some injuries if you don't be a little more.
It happened to him last year.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he got pulled down from behind or crushed into from behind. But yeah.
But when the guy's clearly pulling on the jersey back from behind and not going after the ball, that is clearly a yellow card. End of discussion.
So they're into those final 7 minutes and you're like, oh man, can we hold on for seven more minutes? Like you said, can you hold on for 20 minutes? Can you hold on for seven more? And Houston rifled a shot right in the goal, and Melia came up with one more big save. Big draw for Sporting KC. And over the three games in 7 days, they go 1-1-1. That's not too bad. You'll take that. I mean, you would like another win because you're still out of the playoff zone, so to speak. But 1-1-1, three games in 7 days, I'll take that. All right, final thing here before we have to take our first break. Royals, I purposely waited till the end because with a couple minutes to go, there's not much to say. Lost 6-2 in Arlington. They've lost 2 of 3 in the series, 5 of their last 6. Homer Bailey again with another short start. 3 2/3, 6 hits, 4 earned runs, a couple of walks, 3 strikeouts, only 77 pitches. This is what he is. There's no more saying, well, if we can get him stretched out, this is Homer Bailey. He's going to pitch 4-5 innings, and that's it.
Maybe. Really, it's if his split finger isn't going,
it's not. You're right.
If he's leaving it up, it's only like 84, 85 miles per hour, and you're leaving that up, that's going to get crushed by Major League hitting. Joey Gallo, he left a ball up middle end.
Crushed another one.
91 miles per hour.
Gallo's hurt.
Had an oblique injury, I think, on a check swing. In the fifth, so we'll see. It looked like the test, he's fine, but Joey Gallo, just a royal killer out there.
He's
him.
A guy that
he's,
I would not just walk.
He's either strikeout or home run. That's what he is, and he was so bad in the outfield last year in terms of how he judged balls and judgment and whatnot. This year, he has gotten better at it. It was pretty funny, I think, a couple of days ago when Alex Gordon hit that triple.
Right. That was a bad jump.
He just collapsed into the wall when the ball had already hit the bottom of the wall. And I was just like, ah, man, Joey. And then, of course, he makes like a diving play to end the game.
Sure.
2 days ago.
So, Homer Bailey, maybe we come up with a new term for him. He's not the opener. Maybe he's the stretch opener. I'm going to give you the best 3 innings I got, and that's it. We'll call him a long stretch opener instead of a starter. I'm good with that. Royal struck out 11 times. Ryan O'Hearn and Chesler Cuthbert 3 times each. So, just whatever. Today it's Brad Keller and Adrian Sampson. We'll have baseball tonight coming up at noon. One other Royals note. I found this interesting. And Chris sent this to me this morning. I read it a couple of days ago, I think. MLB trade rumors, they collect stories from other news outlets, whatever the rumors are. So Mark Polishek quotes MLB.com's Mark Feinsand saying that the Royals are now open to trading nearly anybody on the roster, with a couple of exceptions. Who would you think the exceptions would be? One is rather obvious. Adalberto Mondesi. Not trading him. Developed him, could be one of the best shortstops in baseball at some point. He's kind of getting there now. Also, Hunter Dozier apparently exempt from this fire sale, possible fire sale. I could see that.
I mean, you want to keep
him. Yeah. He just got here. I mean, and he's just now getting successful. Whit Merrifield could be on the trade block, club friendly contract, $16.2 million, whatever it is, 1 year of his free agency bought out. So the Royals are apparently open to discussing anybody. I'm going to guess Salvador Perez is not going to be on that list. Can't trade a hurt guy unless you're the San Diego Padres.
And he is not getting any younger.
No. The Padres try to trade hurt guys. That's why their GM got suspended and fined a couple years ago. Anyway, so Royals trade rumors. And College World Series note, only because it involves a Big 12 team, because I'm not going to sit here. I'm guessing most people aren't taking in every single game, but it involves a Big 12 team. Baylor beat Omaha last night 24-6. 24-6. That's not the story, though. Their catcher, and I'm hoping I get his name right, Shea Langeliers, set an NCAA record with 11 RBIs in one game, 5 of 6 with 3 home runs. He's the number 12 overall prospect in tomorrow's draft. They'll face UCLA today. 11 RBIs. I don't know if Omaha's... I mean, if Omaha's in the regional, they've got to be good, decent. They got mollywopped.
Yeah, they probably won their conference tournament to get an automatic bid.
Right.
So
anyway, 11 RBIs for the junior catcher from Baylor, who's the number 12 prospect in tomorrow's draft. All right, on that note, we will take a timeout. Coming up later in the show, we will speak with R.J. Anderson, more on the Royals and Major League Baseball. We will also speak with Nick Schwartz from KLW in Lawrence about KU basketball and football. But coming up next, our good friend of the program, Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. We'll talk K-State basketball with Xavier Sneed coming back. We'll talk K-State football with Isaiah Zuber transferring to Mississippi State. That and more. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Nick Bowling is running the show. Is running the show.
You mean Chris Bowling?
Chris Bowling. My son has a friend named Nick Bowling. A friend named Nick Bowling, so that popped into my head. So Chris Bowling is running the show, not Nick Bowling. Chris Bowling. Anyway, let's get out of here before I get myself in more trouble. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's a funky Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bowling is running the show. Who is this, Chris?
This is a local band, actually.
Okay.
It's a KC band called Hembry.
Hembry.
They just dropped a new album called House on Fire. I'm actually seeing them at the Truman in a couple weeks.
Okay. So awesome.
It's gonna. They always would play. They're big Kansas City sports fans too. They all, you know, on student nights when they have bands come out and play, they do that.
They
sometimes.
Do that. Oh,
they do
be
that
fun.
Sometimes. So I'm really
Hembry?
Excited. Hembry. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're pretty awesome.
Well, if any of the folks at Hembry are listening, hello. That's a good track right there. That's solid, especially on a Sunday morning. All right, so we're going to talk a little K-State basketball and K-State football right now with our good friend Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Riley, how are you on this Sunday morning? Are you in a funky mood after listening to that?
Well, if that doesn't put you in one, I don't know what would. So, yeah, we'll go with it.
First of all, I got to check on your health a little bit. You're a big Tiger Woods guy, and I know Thursday and Friday you were tweeting out, hey, this guy's in it, and then, boy, Saturday, not good for Tiger Woods.
Not great. Full disclosure, I didn't get to see the whole thing. I've been around doing some at wedding Friday, went to the lake Saturday with some family friends. So, yeah, not great, but in what I've seen. But, hey, you know what? There's bigger ones on the horizon. Got the U.S. Open right around the corner, so it's going to be okay. We'll be good.
Did you see the video posted yesterday of him hitting the ball off the cart path?
No.
So the ball
is... I gotta go find that.
The ball is on the edge... That's not the funny part. The ball is on the edge of the cart path, and so he's standing on the cart path. And you know, like, when you're in the sand, you kind of wiggle your feet around so you dig down in the sand a little bit? He starts wiggling his feet around like he's going to dig into the concrete.
I think you might be there a while on that one. You might have to do some digging for a little bit.
Might have some work to do. All right, we're speaking with Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. Let's start off with K-State basketball and some good news for Bruce Weber the last few days. Xavier Sneed, who went through the process of getting evaluated for the NBA draft. Whatever news he got, he decided he's going to come back to K-State. I kind of guessed that would happen all along, but still you're not sure. But that's good news for Bruce Weber and the Wildcats.
Yeah, you know, really good. Obviously, bringing back your most, or I guess your best score in terms of who you can bring back with graduation and things like that. So really nice to get him back. And yeah, I mean, I think people were sweating a little bit, a decision that we weren't really expecting to be so questionable or perhaps up in the air. You know, I think a lot of us thought he'd probably announce a few days before the deadline or perhaps that morning kind of when more players started to roll in with their decisions. But he really took it down to the wire. You know, he didn't tell anybody until the evening, pretty late in the evening, honestly. So I think he actually got some thoughts about leaving. I mean, I don't think you'd stay in there that long if you weren't considering it. I think that's what he was doing. He's probably weighing his options. Some team probably told him, look, we're not going to draft you. You're probably not going to be taken in the draft, but, you know, if you were to come out, there could be a spot for you at a free agency or G League or whatever, you know, things like that. Probably had an offer of some sort or an opportunity of some sort that could put him on that level and or perhaps consider leaving. So, but at the end of the day, like you say, he makes the decision to come back, which is really good for K-State, and I think it'll benefit Xavier Sneed as well.
As you've been around Xavier Sneed and covered him, I mostly covered him, you know, at the Big 12 tournament and things like that. As you've been around Xavier Sneed, does he strike you as a guy who can take ownership of the team and make it his team?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can. I think he's going to do it a little bit. He's either going to do it a lot quieter or he's going to have to change that and become louder. He's not an entirely vocal person, I would say, but perhaps he makes that step up. Perhaps he turns that corner and becomes a vocal leader now that Dean Wade, Barry Brown, and Kamau Stokes are all gone. You know, he's going to have to either do it by example or by voice, but somebody has to do it by voice. You know, you can't just have a bunch of silent leaders. You have to have some pretty vocal guys out there, and perhaps he becomes that type of guy. I don't think he's there, or I don't think he's that kind of a leader just yet, but that certainly doesn't mean he couldn't become that, you know, with the whole summer under his belt and kind of adjusting into this new role of his.
We're speaking with Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. Please check out the website and get a subscription. They always have good discounts on there as well. It's not that expensive, Riley, let's be honest about it. So, but you can get the deals on occasion. So you had a series of articles you've been working on individual players, basically titled Why He Will Succeed, Why He Won't Succeed. And I know you've been working through that list. It's not complete yet, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So, one at a time to each day.
So let me, because I've read a couple of them, but I just want to make sure I get the ones you've already worked on. Have you done Mike McGurl yet?
I have not done Mike yet, no. That'll be an early week project this week. I basically am just starting at the top of the online roster and working my way down.
Okay.
There's no real order to that.
Okay, so let's start with Cartier Jada. He did some good things last year. Struggled at times like anybody would. But what is his for Cartier Jada in K-State basketball? What are the things that make you believe he will succeed, and what could happen that maybe he falls back?
Yeah, I think his pure athleticism and the talent that he showed at times on the floor. I mean, you know, we all want to point to the dunks all the time, and that's the easy thing. And he's the most athletic person on the team. But now, you know, he also plays defense really well. And, he has a high field goal percentage, in terms of his, what he's done in his career. So he's more than just a dunker. He can do a little bit of everything. And I think that with, you know, now needing more time, probably getting better opportunities here to be, you know, a consistent starting lineup, I think he could take that next step up to, you know, we saw flashes of him at times. We saw how he could be really special. But then, you know, the spotlight would go on Barry Brown, because obviously when you do the things Barry Brown did, you're going to get that kind of attention. But, you know, I think now that he has this, the opportunity to take over more playing time, he could absolutely become a better, bigger and better player for K-State. But I think we also need to question a little bit the, how he might handle the new that new role of being the guy. You know, at times you could focus on Barry and Cam and worry about them at the guard position. Oh, and then here comes Jada off the bench. Well, who are you going to have guard him? You know, you're looking at the other team's seventh or eighth player, probably. Someone not as talented. Now there's going to be better defensive resources used against Cartier Jada on the floor. And I think at times he struggled when teams kind of figured him out after a bit, and he had to learn how to, you know, as any player would, he had to learn how to overcome that. So, you know, I think that he's going to have a little bit of a struggle at the start of the season, learning how to be the guy. But I do think at the end of the day, or kind of as the season goes on, he'll actually figure it out and be a pretty solid player in that role.
And if you want to read these breakdowns, you can follow Riley on Twitter as well, @Riley_Gates. And he'll have a link to these stories about the things that work or won't work for individual players. One of the freshmen I know you broke down was Antonio Gordon, the kid from Lawton, Oklahoma. I don't know a lot about him. I don't follow a lot of Oklahoma basketball, but Oklahoma high school basketball. But Antonio Gordon, tell me about him.
Yeah. Antonio puts up huge numbers in high school. He averaged, you know, over 20 points a game. I think around 11 rebounds. I mean, he was a monster in terms of his production on the floor and the numbers he put up. And I think that bodes real well for K-State. You know, he's kind of a bigger guy, and K-State needs somebody to step up down low. You know, maybe it is one of the incoming freshmen this year, or maybe it's someone on the roster, but they don't have a whole lot of depth at the post spot, and so there's going to be ample opportunities for playing time and to make an impact there, and that's what I kind of like about Antonio potentially becoming that guy. But you know, on the other hand, I won't make any secret about it. He's the project of the class. I mean, I'm like you. I don't exactly follow the ins and outs of Oklahoma high school basketball all that much. But you know, I don't know as if that he was exactly playing the toughest of competitions out there. You know, I mean, I'm sure there were some good players he faced. There were some good teams, but you know, it's not like he was, you know, playing the 5-star, the 4-star recruits and things like that. So you know, I question, will he be able to make that transition? It's no secret that he was kind of a last minute option for Bruce Weber in this recruiting class, considering they had him on a visit in the summer. They didn't offer him. They didn't really seem all that interested in him. He commits to Tulsa, and then, you know, a few weeks later, K-State offers. He backs off the Tulsa commitment and then commits to K-State. So I have some questions about Antonio. Like I said, I would probably use the word project to describe him, but he has the ceiling to perhaps meet that level that a lot of people probably are expecting of him.
We're speaking with Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. We'll switch it over to football now. And before I get into Isaiah Zuber, I just got to say, Chris Kleiman is making your job and Tim Fitzgerald's job and the GoPowerCat.com team a lot better and a lot easier, because we all know Bill Snyder. Bill Snyder did not allow you guys into practices, did not allow you to interview assistant coaches, didn't really do interviews himself other than the press conference. But Chris Kleiman is kind of letting you guys peek behind the curtain. I've seen the videos you guys have posted, interviews with in the coach's office right there. You're talking to everybody. You get to see some of the workouts. So that's got to make life a lot better and easier for you guys.
Oh, incredibly. I mean, you know, when you're doing interviews in the middle of May, I mean, at this time, usually it's, okay, spring ball's over, see you at media day in August, you know? And that's just kind of what we do. And now we're in here, you know, going into Vanier and on a random day in May, we're, you know, going camps or whatever. It's a whole lot different. It's a new vibe, and it's really good. You know, I don't think it hurts anybody. I think that's kind of what Coach Snyder thought a little bit. It was, oh, man, you know, if I let the media around, it's going to impact the team because their focus won't be here, whatever. And I mean, it's just not true, obviously. So,
right.
It's nice to have the access without a doubt and provide a whole lot better coverage and a whole lot deeper coverage with that better access.
Well, it's great for the readers. It's great for the fans. It's great for media people like me who get to read and watch all of your stuff. And it's great for the supporters who actually get to know a little bit about the team before the season gets rolling. All right. Isaiah Zuber transferring to Mississippi State. You know, it's a senior grad transfer. Those happen all the time. But this one came a little bit late. And I don't know if the coaching staff was caught off guard or if he'd been talking about this. I know he had the hip surgery this offseason. But did this come out of the blue a little bit?
Certainly. You know, none of us were really anticipating it. Nobody had heard any rumbles. You know, hey, he might be looking to go somewhere else. You know, things like that. It definitely caught me off guard. and it was a pretty crazy minute or two there, right when that news hit Twitter and started to work to confirm that one. So, you know, as to why, it's kind of unclear. You know, there are some chatters there, there's some rumors out there that he maybe wasn't exactly on the best of terms, on the right page with some of the K-State coaches, probably some off the field things that, you know, you don't necessarily want to throw out there as report, because, you know, you can't exactly prove a whole lot of those rumors out there. But I think that there's certainly some truth to the fact that he was not exactly in good graces with those coaches, and probably saw his playing time going down, maybe a suspension, I don't know, you know, something like that at some point, and needed to go somewhere else. So now he's off to Mississippi State, and, you know, how funny he's going to be on the field in week three there when K-State plays Mississippi State. So it's super weird, though, and it takes a huge hit to K-State's production on the offense this year.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking up his numbers through his career, 20 starts, 38 games, 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns. So pretty decent football player, but Skylar Thompson will have to find another option out there. And let me ask you a final thing on football real quick. Do you get the sense from Coach Klieman that he wants a starter and doesn't want to do the, you know, the hokey-pokey routine that Bill Snyder was doing last year with the two quarterbacks?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he's made it no secret. It's Skylar Thompson, and
okay.
I think the staff seems really excited about the potential of Skylar Thompson, without a doubt.
Well, that's good. I've always been a Skylar Thompson fan just because I covered him at Fort Osage, so I just felt bad for him last year with, you know, coming in, coming out. And I just don't think that's the right way to run an offense, or certainly not a productive way to run an offense. All right, final thing for you, Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. Would you be interested in going to a St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup Finals game, sitting in a luxury suite, and slinging brewskis with Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, it sounds like an all right Saturday night. It seems decent. Are you offering to pay for it?
No, I'm not. No, and I wouldn't be allowed.
Okay.
I wouldn't be allowed on that level. I would be stopped by.
If you figured out a way for me to get in there, I'd absolutely take you up on that.
All right. Yeah, Travis Kelce was hanging out too, so it was a good time. Those guys have a good time, and I thought it was funny. So, on the jumbotron, slinging a brewski. So whatever. Hey Riley, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I don't think Tiger Woods is going to win today, but hopefully he plays a little bit better and gets himself ready for the U.S. Open. Have a great the rest of your Sunday.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. You guys too, and happy to join anytime. It's a lot of fun.
All right, thank you very much. That is Riley Gates, friend of the program here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. If you want to follow Riley on Twitter, he's at Riley_Gates. You can also read all of his content and GoPowerCat.com. You can get a subscription. He works right alongside Tim Fitzgerald. They just debuted their new offices here a few weeks ago. Did you see that? Fancy.
I think I missed it, but
oh my gosh,
I don't know how I missed it, because I see all the feed from, you know, traffic that they put through on Twitter. But that's maybe I did see it, I just forgot, but that's nice.
They had an open house. They were inviting anybody in Manhattan or anywhere else to come by and check it out, because
nice.
it's really cool. So yeah, congratulations on that too. I should have mentioned that new offices for the GoPowerCat.com team. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. Still to come on the show, in the next hour, RJ Anderson from CBSSports.com will join us. We'll talk a little Royals. We'll talk Major League Baseball. We'll talk draft, with the draft coming up tomorrow. Royals have the number 2 overall pick. And then at 11 o'clock, Nick Schwert from KLWN in Lawrence will join us. We'll talk KU basketball. We'll talk KU football. And maybe I'll ask him about Mahomes, too. I don't know. Sounds like fun. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. We've got just about 4 minutes left in this hour, and then we have two more still to go. Good stuff with Riley Gates. Again, check him out, GoPowerCat.com, or check him out on Twitter, at Riley_Gates. And I like seeing the football program over there at K-State opened up a little bit. Coach Chris Klieman agreeing to grant more interviews and allow reporters into practices. And look, it's not just about media people. I'm not trying to make this about me. This allows the fans, the supporters, the people who buy the tickets to actually get to know the team. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Bill Snyder is a great guy. Fantastic human being. But covering his football teams was a royal pain in the ass.
Let alone covering any college team comparative to the media restrictions in terms of, you know, speaking to players and coaches, the leash is a lot tighter.
Right. Well, he seems to be embracing this new era of, why don't we videotape my pep talk to the team? Let's do that. Let's post it. Let's get people excited. Les Miles is embracing this new era of, you know, social media and getting the program exposure.
Yeah. You got to think about it. You're trying to change a culture at Kansas State. You're trying to bring your own buzz, your own style of coaching, and how you want to project that to fans and to media and make it look like, hey, we're going into the new age. This isn't the old age stuff with, you know, Bill Snyder was a great coach, but he kind of held that program hostage for a few years, in my opinion, at least. So
it got old. It was behind the times.
Yeah, and the dual quarterback system not working.
Last year was awful.
The QB draws, it couldn't work, but the way they ran their offense in terms of how they could utilize Skylar Thompson, who I think is a good quarterback in the Big 12 and could be a decent at least passer. He can pass. He can throw the ball.
Well, these programs are now opening up a little bit more, allowing you to see behind the curtains a little bit, and it's good stuff. The Chiefs really don't with the media. They let you, for TV stations, you can shoot about 4 minutes of stretching in practice, but they put their own photographers on the field, and then they do these great videos. And they have a fantastic video department, the Chiefs do, and they're posting some great stuff right now, but it's controlled content. It's what they want you to see.
But I really hope that both Les and Chris Klieman can be successful and that when get that rivalry rejuvenated in terms of competitively.
It is a big thing
when Kansas and Kansas State meet, but in football it just hasn't been the same since Mangino was there.
Right.
So,
all right,
we're
out of time for hour number one. Coming up next, RJ Anderson, CBSSports.com. We'll talk Royals. We'll talk Major League Baseball. We'll talk about the draft coming up on Monday. And then at 11, Nick Schwert will join us from Lawrence, Kansas. Talk a little KU basketball and football. This is Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.